Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Ventham, who are both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. What does the Bible have to say about work? What does it look like to be a Christian in the workplace, in the everyday tasks I carry out, but also when I'm faced with opposition, or if I'm asked to compromise on my beliefs in some way? That's what we're talking about in today's episode. So let's get into it, and I'll catch you again on the other side.
My name is Graham Nichols.
My name is Mark Ventham.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Over the last several weeks on Ordinary, we've been talking about aspects of the church and church life. We started with church, and then we did membership and serving, and then hospitality. We're switching gears a little bit now to talk about work, something which is a really dominant theme in all of our lives, really. So does the Bible have things to say about work?
Yes. Next question. The Bible has huge amounts to say about work. And the reason it does is because at the end of the day, God is a worker. And you see right from the very beginning, as he creates creation, he then creates man to work in the garden. And so from that very opening point, we see that actually part of what we do on earth is to work.
And that's pre-fall.
Pre-fall. Yeah, right. And to kind of order, subdue, make much of. So in the sense of to rule and subdue creation. So we are made to work. So the Bible, therefore, is going to say a lot about work. And here's the thing. Not only was it pre-fall, it continues after the fall, as we know, but it will also be for all eternity as well. That, you know, we're not in heaven sitting on clouds. We're in heaven working. However that is expressed. So the Bible in that sense is going to then talk about how we do work, why we do work, what we do work for. And I think this is really important because at the end of the day, the majority of our lives, we are working in some way. Now, people say, well, work is only if I get paid. No, work is whatever you do for the majority of your time. Now, there may be periods when I'm unable to work because of ill health, or for other reasons. But generally, the majority of our time during a week is in our workplaces, wherever that may be. Now, that may be I'm getting paid and I go up to the city. It may be that I'm getting paid and I sit in a room in my house on the computer. Or it may be that actually my work is caring for my children. But it's all work.
Because you had some unsubstantiated but quite interesting league table to do with work.
It came from a Forbes survey or something. Forbes in the US, and they were looking at the toughest jobs in terms of leadership roles. And the number one toughest leadership role is a stay-at-home parent. At number five, pastor. Number nine, CEO. So interestingly, that this, you know, this work-based magazine in the US, which is a well-respected publication. However they did their survey, I just saw the kind of the highlights, recognised, firstly, that a stay-at-home parent was a work position, which is really important to affirm, and secondly, just the hardness of that, but also the scale of that work and the nature of it.
Yeah, and I think it's hard because inevitably when you start talking about work, you will fall in, and we're probably falling in this discussion, to talking more about paid work. That's because in the way the sort of capitalist structure has become now, paid work is the thing that most of us are doing as our sort of main occupation. So that is true. But in principle, as we kept saying, you know, all kinds of work are work, whether they're paid or not. And all kinds of things are work. So they could be categorizing, understanding, they could be artistic, they could be to do with sort of managing and subduing, they could be agricultural, they could be commercial, in terms of that it's all about ruling and subduing over the earth and understanding it. So there's a whole range of things that are the kind of legitimate to do. Really anything that does those things that's not sinful is work. And of course it overlaps with serving, because some of serving is working, but it's a much bigger category of things that they're all spiritual and they'll all worship, as we'll see, but some are more focused, our gaze is more towards subduing, ruling the world rather than building the church. So although there's secondary ways, you know, it is part of more of our general creation mandate that we're doing as we're working. About kind of ruling, subduing, feeding, providing for, all those kind of things.
No, it may be that if people are sitting there thinking, okay, that's all very well, but you two are pastors, you know, what do you know about work? You work in a church, you know, you work with Christians, what a nice environment. They might even, you know, think, actually, you only work one day a week.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do they know? And it's worth saying that both of us worked in, for better, want of a better phrase, the secular industry before we went into ministry. You for much longer than me, but both of us have experienced the workplace in that sense. And so, you know, we're not completely out of it in that sense of understanding some of the pressures and what it looks like to be a believer in a secular workplace.
Yeah. I happened to leave school when I was 15, just because my birthday's in August, but worked from age 16 to 21, then went to university, then came back, and then was very fortunate in working my way up in an engineering company, becoming CEO of that company, and doing lots of international travel. So both a kind of engineering apprentice on the clock, as it was then, experience, but also managerial international sales. You know, God blessed me with an amazing range of different roles, some very practical and quite mundane. You know, used to fall asleep welding stuff, literally, you know, welding little pressure gauges things, you know, so very mundane, repetitive jobs through to, you know, quite fun multi-million orders and stuff. So, you know, we had that experience. Obviously, you know, the longer you're out of it, you become a little bit less familiar with, you know, precisely what's going in industry. But, you know, hopefully we breathe the same air and we chat with people. And if we're being hospitable, we get to understand what people's jobs are.
Amen.
And what they're actually doing in their work and kind of what it's like and what the work environment is like. Obviously, it's at a, not really the main part of this podcast, but at a practical level, the work environment, you know, compared to, I've been 10 years or so, a bit longer than that actually, 15 years in full-time Christian ministry. But in terms of diversity, equality, and the pressure on that is probably different, particularly in bigger organisations, than it was when we were working. So that's a whole new challenge. You know, obviously technology's changed as well, but you know, most things to do with work are the same as when we were working. But that equality, diversity pressure is probably a new thing since we were working. I think that'd be fair to say. But yeah, we have some experience.
Well, but it's interesting. Let's move into that then. So you know, how do we work? You know, particularly, and I think, you know, there's the obvious things, isn't it? We're to, you know, Colossians 3, you know, however, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So there's a sense of recognising that even as I work, be it, you know, caring for my children or in a particular workplace, or, you know, I may have an employer, but ultimately I am working for God, for the Lord. And I get that. But how does that work out in the practicality? You know, what does that actually look like? And, you know, what does it look like, you know, in today's, you know, you mentioned the diversity thing, and my understanding is that, you know, the companies are saying you need to sign up to these particular diverse policies, and if you don't hold with us on these particular things, then actually you can't work. You know, how do we engage with these kind of issues if I'm seeking to honour God and, you know, work for him in this workplace, showing Christ's love?
Yeah, that's really difficult. Just to underline what you said and then come back to your question, the call on us as Christian workers is to work for the Lord all the time. And that means there's a really good kind of way that Paul puts it, in terms of not just when your master's eye is on you, not just when they're looking. So imagining sort of conceptually, whatever you're working at, whatever day you're working, wherever, whether people are seeing you or not, whether you're highly accountable because you're very visible, or whether you're working from home, always thinking God's watching, not in a horrible sort of
big brother,
tyrant big brother way, but always think God's watching. Because I'm doing it for the Lord, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do as a worker. So I'm going to, you know, be diligent. you know, if I need to go on a training course, I'll be cheerful about doing that. If I need to learn a new skill, I'll learn that. I'll work within the policies of the company for, you know, timekeeping or expenses policy or whatever it is. I'll do everything, you know, as though I was doing it for God. And if I was doing it for God, I'd make sure my expenses were done properly. You know, and I'd make sure if I was supposed to work these hours, I'd work these hours. And if I'm allowed to take a little bit of a break, that's fine, but I wouldn't abuse it. And if, you know, if I'm allowed to look on social media through the day, I won't abuse that. So I'll think about all those practical things that I would do if I knew God was looking at me as he is.
In other words, I wouldn't steal time by sitting there looking at my Facebook account all day. That's one aspect of it, isn't it, in terms of thinking about God looking and how I'm using my time and all those kind of details.
And so that probably would be a good example where sort of things change. So the challenges when I was at work were there was email, there was the internet.
Were computers.
We created a whole product based on the internet, and I remember having the internet explained to me, thinking, "Wow, this is amazing." But so that was all around. But the just everywhere present mobile devices with so much capability wasn't around. You know, we had mobile phones and texting and stuff. So the challenges were more to do with, well, I had the big one. And through my sort of working life as a you know, running a company, we went through the big to small, because it happened very quickly, the shrinking, like in about 3 or 4 years, it went from ones you carried like some old wartime, you know, radio set through to the Nokia P2, which was the first kind of smallish one.
And then the car phone.
And then to flip phones. Yeah, the car phones as well, which were big. But the point being that the challenge was making personal phone calls was the big thing, or using company assets in some other way, you know, taking a bit of paper or, you know, whatever it was. And you're using that time. Now the opportunities are much more so to do with what you could be spending your time doing when you're at work, using the company network, or because mobile networks are everywhere, you know, you don't really need to tap into that. So, you know, there's those sort of challenges. But the point is, the principle's the same. Now, reeling all the way back to your question about... Okay, so you're doing all that really well, but then comes a policy that says, I was reading one actually yesterday about an initiation for a particular company where they were told they had to wear a rainbow lanyard to make a statement about the equality and diversity policy. And those are really difficult challenges that I've had a similar question for people working here locally, where that's, you know, been a particular day. And I think we need great wisdom and sensitivity to say, where is my gospel integrity at stake? Where am I making a statement that I don't agree with as a Christian? And where is there amount of freedom to say, I'm happy to join in with this because I'm happy with, at a high level, not the principles behind, but at a high level, what's being said, I'm happy with. So I think that's where, you know, a great deal of wisdom, and we need to help each other quite a lot in talking about this. So if I'm wearing a rainbow lanyard, for example, am I saying I agree with every ideology and philosophy that says sexuality is completely fluid, is free choice, it's a lifestyle choice, that gender is fluid? Or am I just saying I want to make sure anyone who thinks differently on this subject is welcomed and not bullied? And you've got to make a kind of value judgment, because for the second of those, you'd say, as a Christian, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I know some of the philosophy is bad behind it, but I still want to do that welcoming part, so I'm happy to wear it. Or you conclude, no, it's actually a whole different message and ideology, and I can't support it, and I need to stand up for Christ in that. And I think those are really hard choices. You know, if someone's legally transitioned from male to female, female to male, they've legally transitioned, do I recognise that by using the correct pronouns? What point am I trying to make by not? These are really hard questions to answer. And they're real workplace challenges for people. Slightly to the side of the topic of work, but they are kind of what's in people's daily lives.
But it is the issue, isn't it? It's where actually the rubber hits the road at the moment in terms of thinking through how we behave.
Right.
And I imagine there will come a point, there are certain jobs that we will not, as believers, need to hold, because actually, not that they're wrong in and of themselves, but because of actually what we're then now being asked to do, actually there just may be an issue. Now, we know this is coming up. You know, we saw the issue of the bakers in Northern Ireland, you know, and just that freedom. So this is where it is hitting. And part of our job as pastors is, how do we help people to think through these issues? You know, how do we uphold what the Bible teaches? How do we love people well, those who are made in the image of God, who think differently to us?
Yeah.
And you know, we talk about a tolerant society, but the reality is we're not really that tolerant, unless you agree with me. We don't quite know how to disagree lovingly and well with each other. But how do I model that as a believer? And how do I do that in a workplace where I'm respected, well thought of, seeking to be holy, recognizing I'm trying to get alongside people because, hey, I recognize it's a mission field. But how do I navigate these pretty difficult waters of what we're expected to sign up to, agree with, affirm, which actually goes against what we believe or what the Bible teaches?
Yeah.
And how do I do that well, lovingly? And I think one of the things that we've been talking about in partnership with some of our local friends down here and other churches is to get to groups of people together who work in particular industries. Those who are teachers, schools, education, those who are in the NHS, those who are in the city, get them into the rooms in case, say, hey, tell us what the issues are. What are the problems? And we as pastors then from these, let's think those things through together. Okay, how do we think theologically about these issues? How do you remain distinctive in these issues? How are you going to tackle them? What are the questions that you need to ask? So we'd love to encourage folks to be part of that, because I think we've got to give people answers. And I think some of the things you've been saying this morning are quite helpful in that, in terms of beginning to think, okay, well, what are the wisdom issues? What is it I'm actually signing up to? What am I not signing up to?
Yeah.
And I think there is a freedom that, you know, the line will be drawn for different people and different believers, and it'll be a conscience issue.
Because certainly on the rainbow lanyard, for example, people would disagree. People would also disagree about using different gender pronouns. This is Christians would maybe take a different view on how much you're condoning by doing that, or how much you're just accepting the reality and so forth.
And how we love. I think it's a really big, you know, it's actually sometimes it's just, we think we're doing right, but actually we're just being unloving. And I think, you know, we've got to think that through.
I mean, I was recently asked to comment on a Birmingham school situation where the teachers were bringing, it's a primary school, teachers were bringing in books that talked about same-sex couples, and there were lots of people protesting, and a number of Muslim parents have withdrawn their children from that school since. I think withdrawn them from particular lessons. So as a Christian, you know, what's my view on that? Do we want some kind of ring-fenced culture where our children are never exposed to, you know, those ideas? But it's a question of timing and the actual content of what they're told. Now, that's as a parent. I was more commenting as sort of, you know, how I would think as a parent, and was it right for people to withdraw? But just think, if you're a teacher in that school, so that's become the policy in that primary school, and, you know, lots of people in lots of our churches will be primary school teachers. So they're in a school that then adopts that policy. What are you going to do? You're going to leave the school? You're going to stay with the school? You're going to actually use that book that you've been set that's got a same-sex couple who are on the kind of first page? So this is the set reading book, you know, for your child. These are really difficult questions, and we're not really helping in this podcast by answering those. But, you know, working out what you should do, which both loves people but has integrity with what you believe and what you believe is helpful. And I think weighing up the degree of compromise and the degree of harm is kind of where you start to answer those sort of questions. How much are you actually compromising and making a statement, supporting an ideology that is wrong? But also, do you think, particularly in those kind of teaching roles, do you think this is not just educating children on something that you don't quite like? This is actually harming. And part of loving people sometimes is saying this is genuinely harmful. So particularly to do with transitioning between genders, I would say, you know, along with lots of people who aren't Christians, but certainly Christians, that it's not just we don't like this idea as Christians because we think it's wrong. We think it's totally harmful to children. It's totally harmful. There was a Liberal Democrat who introduced a bill to allow teachers, sorry, schools to have complete freedom about what uniform children wore, whether it was seemingly a female uniform. So you could have children on their first day of primary school, boys wearing dresses in particular. That would be a particular kind of outworking of that. They'd have complete freedom to do that. Now, would you just say, well, as a Christian, because I believe male for female distinctions, I think that's wrong? Or would you say, because I love children, I think that's so harmful to allow that to happen? So it's working those through. It's not just about what we think is right and wrong, because there's lots of things happening in a broken world that are wrong. There are lots of people in adulterous relationships, who we're working with, and we're not saying, I'm not going to work for that company because, my boss is an adulterer. You wouldn't say that, would you? You'd respect whatever relationship they're in and at that point in time. So you're not swashbuckling out there, knocking out everyone who doesn't agree with you, but you are thinking, what's harming? I know we're getting a bit away from work, but it was just tapping into a stream of interest.
This wasn't where we thought the podcast would go, but it is interesting, because I think partly as well is that often we're late to the party as Christians, as in we're not doing our thinking up front and early enough.
Yeah.
And I think, you may be in a workplace right now where actually this isn't an issue, but it will be an issue. So you need to be clear now, thinking through, what do I believe biblically is the teaching? And, look at the book, God gives us in his grace books like Daniel, whereby you see some of those kind of issues of living out in a secular culture where you're expected to do stuff. How do you begin to weigh up where the line is and where the line isn't? Daniel, you read Daniel chapter 1, and it is a surprise that he does so much and then he suddenly eats this food. And it puzzles people. Why does he do that? Well, presumably because he is somehow working through what is biblical and where the line is and where I can go. And I think our default sometimes, and I think this is as Christians, is that we then just quickly withdraw and seem to be anti everything, rather than because I want to say lazy and not done the thinking we should have done, that says, okay, this is what is biblical, this is what God's word commands and tells us, and this is where I have greater freedom to work out what does that look like and how I love people and love them well in this. And it's too easy just to go to the default position of a kind of bunker mentality, rather than think through, okay, practically, what is wisdom here? And I can't do that on my own. I do need others. I do need to be engaging with folks and talking with others who are in a similar position to me and sharpen. I mean, just as a total starting thing, I think it's one of the great benefits we have as a kind of a plurality of elders, is that sometimes you kind of are working these kind of things through together, and there's five of you seeking to bring God's wisdom to bear that sharpens. And we need to be doing more of that to help us in our workplaces, and stop seeing our workplaces as just where I am, but rather than thinking, okay, how do we as churches really think about these as our mission fields and working these issues through in a practical way? And I think we've done some of that, in this podcast, in terms of thinking, beginning to think, okay, here's some of the questions you need to be thinking about.
I think positively, as we work, we are expressing something of our dignity as people made in the image of God. And I'm going to connect it up with what we've just been talking about as well. But it's not just about sort of fulfilling some sort of vague mandate. Whatever you're working at, as you work for the Lord with integrity and so forth, you're actually doing a good thing. There may be completely futile jobs, but mostly jobs have some purpose. That whether it's, you're part of the supply chain for Sainsbury's, which means people get fed, a bit like we were thinking about to do with serving, you connect it with the big vision. The big vision is we are ruling over the world, which means we need to be fed and we need utilities and structures and infrastructure and all those things. There's all kinds of other things. There's fruit and vegetables. There's artistic accomplishments. There's the whole trade and commerce. There's discovery and invention of new designs and new materials and all those sort of things, and electric cars that are more efficient probably than diesel cars and all that stuff. So, you're doing a good thing. And just connecting that back with some of the challenges in the workplace, that we want Christians to go out and be really good at what they do. Not so they feel good about themselves and so forth, simply, but so they do the work that God's called us to do in terms of ruling the world. And in God's goodness, some of them may be very, very good at that. because they're doing it diligently, and God blesses them, and they become in positions of influence. Mark was talking earlier about a colleague of his who was head of one of the local councils. And surely in that position, as a Christian, you can be an influence for good. You're not entirely, without influence over some policies and procedures. And so you can both do the job well, but you can also push back against some of these other issues because you have a voice, which you don't have if you're at a much lower level in that council. So it's good to be in positions of strong influence. You know, it's good that Christians go into politics, and that's their work, which is part of us organising ourselves. I know you might think politicians are lazy and so forth, and perhaps they are some days, but, you know, when they're working well, they are part of ruling the world. So go into workers' politics, and you will have a voice that can speak godly common sense into some of these issues. So it's not all bad. You know, part of our work is actually influencing for good.
And I think that's really important, isn't it? Because actually I think sometimes we can be heard to think our work is negative, or work is just something I have to do to get to the weekend, or work is just what I do to earn money to put, you know, food on the table. Actually, God gives it an even greater dignity as those who are made in his image. And so therefore, actually, work should be a place. Now, most people are in a work that at least brings them some enjoyment. You may be in a work where actually you just hate, and you, for whatever the circumstances, you can't get out. But actually, I think investing it with a greater dignity of saying, actually, I am doing something here for the Lord. Actually, here is a mission field that the Lord has given me to get alongside others, to be salt and light, to do this well, even though it's the most boring, mundane, I hate doing it, but I'm going to do it well because I want to do it for the glory of Christ. It gives a dignity that is more than just, hey, this is what I do. You know, and actually we I think we don't want to rob work from that sense of the dignity that God has given it, and the value of it, that it is much more than just providing. It's much more than just, hey, a means of being able to give more to the church. It's much more than just, you know, filling my life, my hours during the day. Actually, that there is massive value in how we do work. And, you know, praise God if you're in a place of work where you love it, delight in it, and, you know, you get up and enjoy it. You know, praise God if actually he's using you for much influence. You know, don't think that that's little. That's massive. You know, and that partly I think we often get ourselves in trouble because we think somehow, well, when I'm serving in church, that's when I'm really doing God's work. And I think we're saying, no, when you're in your workplace, that's where you're also really doing God's work. You know, they're all in places of influence and places of value and importance. Yeah.
I think because we want to emphasize that then can roll over into the danger that you have work as a god. So it's a hard, a bit like we were talking about to do with just balances generally in one of the other podcasts. It is quite hard to discern when has this tipped over into work becoming a god, because we want work to be something people work hard at. You know, what does that look like? We want people to exceed, so they go for the promotion to succeed. So we go for the promotion, and that involves extra work. You know, how much is too much? Mm. Should we ever say no to a promotion because we want to help, you know, in the church or because of our family? Well, we should, but when? When should we ever do that? Or do we just take all the opportunities God has given us? And again, I think it's a matter of praying and talking to other people, and particularly talking to our family, to try and discern, has it become not so much too much, because hard work is just hard work, and there are seasons when we do have to work very hard. It's more, has it become an idol to me, you know, a god to me? Just as an aside to do with the hard work thing, you know, but we forget that previous generations worked extremely hard and extremely long hours. We kind of think that, you know, this is something new. But the question is not so much how many hours is this. It's, is this occupying all my thoughts and my priority? Could I do without it? Is it impoverishing significantly my family or my church life or my own health? Am I damaging myself through it? And sometimes we need someone from the outside to just observe, you know, this is all you do. This is all you think about. You keep absenting yourself from gatherings of the church. You keep absenting yourself from, you know, significant family occasions. You know, and sometimes that's fine. But if this has become the pattern of your life, you need someone to kind of ask, speak into that. And just ask the question, you know, why is that? Is it a necessity? Is this a seasonal thing? Is this a structural thing that this has become your life? And everything else is now fitting you know, beneath it, which is not right.
And again, the danger is because we put and say actually there's a high value on work, I hide behind that lie,
and say
therefore kind of give myself permission to make work well. I'm just serving God in this area. You tell me to go and serve God, and so I'm just getting on with it. And so why are you now saying it's an idol? Well, you know, it's like all things, isn't it? You know, we were saying in one of the other podcasts, you know, even as we serve the church, it can become an idol. It can become something that is unhealthy and actually wrong, sinful, because it's become the dominant thing that you are seeking praise or approval or affirmation that God alone should get, that God alone should have in top priority and top place and in my heart and ruling my heart. So, you know, it can tip quite easily into that. Even, you know, as Keller says, a good thing can become a God thing. And that's where, you know, we've got to be God in our hearts whilst not kind of putting down what is a good thing. You know, is it, we can swing the other way. We go, well, actually, it's a bad thing, it's an idol, it's wicked. Oh, work is a terrible thing. No, work is a good thing, but it mustn't be a God thing.
And I think we want to encourage rest as well.
Absolutely.
So we're not just saying, you know, you're not turning up at church, you're working too hard. We want to say sometimes to people, you're not resting, you're working too hard. And part of not becoming an idol, making an idol of work, is saying, I do work for the glory of God, but I also rest for the glory of God.
Maybe we should do a whole podcast on rest.
And we're challenging people's lies, really, the lies that we're telling ourselves sometimes about that. Sometimes we're telling each other the truth, and that's good. But sometimes we are telling ourselves the lie that I've heard from some Christians, at least, the idea that they're working really hard because they'll eventually have enough money that they'll better settle down and serve in the church somewhere. And, you know, nearly all of those work through to retirement, normal age, and still don't have any time. But even if that is a genuine desire, you just have to think, but in the meantime, am I doing the right thing? You know, it's okay to say I'm going to kind of surge on some particular project for a month, and, you know, that will gain a bit of extra money, and I've got a purpose of this, that's good. But you know, to say that as a kind of a life pattern, I'm going to try and work really hard until I'm 45, and then I'll have enough money collected. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's wrong, but I think you could question whether that's a really good way to order your life, because I think that, you know, all through those years, you're probably prioritizing wrongly, even if you have a genuine idea that you want to.
Push it a little bit.
It's proper wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, James 5, doesn't he? You know, talks about, is it end of James 5 and beginning of James 5? You know, in terms of, you know, making your plans kind of separate from God. And to kind of say, well, actually, I'm going to make all this money, A, assumes that you can, that you will be that successful, and B, that is the best treatment. Whereas I just don't think you see that pattern in the scriptures. So I think we are called to work hard, but actually the pattern is much more, what am I modeling to my kids? You know, what would the world look at me and say? You're driven. And I think the difficulty is as soon as you establish those kind of patterns, it becomes very, very hard to then untangle those patterns, because it's just the habit of what you've done.
Yeah.
And I think therefore you kind of invest all your time into the work that you've now not invested anything into family or to church family, to suddenly go 45, I made enough money, I'm going to go back into those things. Actually, I just think the way we're structured, wired, habit forming just doesn't happen. And I think you also have that always in the back of your mind, have I made quite enough?
Yeah.
When's enough enough?
Yeah.
You know, and the truth is, my sinful heart is never enough. So unless I'm putting in the good principles which say, actually, the pattern of life is I'm to work, I'm to glorify God by being part of a local church and serving in a local church. I'm to be witnessing. I'm to be hospitable. I'm to be caring primarily for my family and discipling them well. If I'm not doing all of those things and one of those is so out of kilter, I you know, unless it's for a particular season, for a particular project, I think if that is the pattern of life, I would say I'm just not sure the Bible does set that up. And so I would say, I think it's bordering on wrong. Or I'd say, actually, no, I think it is wrong. Unless there's an... Yeah. I'm not even sure what the unless is.
We talked about in one of the previous podcasts about this lily pad idea, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
About how there are seasons, perhaps, where something moves closer to the centre,
right,
and you spend more time on it, and there are seasons where it moves away. But we're talking about patterns, aren't we? General...
So if my pattern is 10 times, the work is there in the forefront for 10, 15, 20 years, I think...
Yeah, and it's difficult to... That's why we need some help, really, thinking about it. So, for example, you could nowadays is much more flexibility to see our kids' nativity play or, you know, performance at school, because there's much more flexible working. There wasn't so much in the past. But, you know, do you make that the touchstone? You're working too hard if you can't, you know, take a morning off to watch, you know, your kids. Well, I'm not so sure. But at the other end of the spectrum, if you're working through the week and you're never seen, leaving early, coming home late, and then on Saturday you've got to catch up on a load of work, or you're so exhausted you're absolutely no use to your family, then that's more of a thing. So, you know, let's not be kind of petty about, you know, the nativity play, but let's think about the bigger pattern of what am I for my family at the weekends because of sort of overworking.
Yeah.
But, you know, in all that, it's there's judgment needed, and we want to be positive about work. You know, as we said at the beginning, God works and rests, we work and rest, and we do it for the glory of God. And, you know, it's a great privilege, and many of us have had and still have fun jobs in God's goodness, as Mark was saying. And even if it's not so much fun, we can plug it into the bigger purposes of God and saying, I'm somehow serving the world in doing this and facilitating something to happen that means people get fed, people can do business, you know, people can live, the lights go on. You know, I'm serving in that big way, and that gives it dignity.
If you have specific questions or issues in your workplace that you would like some input on, then email us on ordinary@cchh.org.uk, and Graham and Mark would love to be as helpful as they can in that. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next time.